95, Coleman's Independent Radio, music from the Smashing Pumpkins. And it's 4:02 on a Thursday, and fall is finally here. Temperature dropped a little bit. I don't think I saw my thermometer much above about 72 degrees today, and that was pretty nice. Welcome, everybody. It's 4:02, like I said a moment ago, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we do this little program around here called Sports Talk Live. It's brought to you in part by People's Bank, as is the radio station, so we want to give a shout-out to them. And well, let's just go ahead and start the show. What do you say, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes?
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Back with you folks on a Thursday afternoon, and Ronnie, it could be a prettier Thursday afternoon.
Oh, is this not football weather?
Boy,
cooled off into the 70s, a little bit of breeze, little nip in the air at night. Oh, gosh.
It is super nice, and it'll be a super nice weekend.
Yeah, make a man want to build a fire, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
A fireplace or a fire pit out back, whatever the case may be. But I am glad to see the 90 degrees gone.
Hopefully we won't see any more.
According to James Spann, we will not see any more 90-degree weather.
I hope he's right. And staying true to form, the Coleman County Fair is in town, and the coolness finally moved in.
That's right. We just don't have any rain yet. But I didn't get any.
Did we talk about this the other day, or it may have been in the office we were talking about it? Do you ever remember the fair being in town and it being above 90?
No.
I don't either. I think this year was a first for that. The fair was in town, and people going to the fair and sweating, and 93 degrees.
There's always a cool snap or cool day during the fair.
Yeah.
I mean, always.
And usually it'll rain.
And wet.
Yep.
No rain.
Nope.
Well, it's dry.
But we'll take it.
We'll take the cool weather.
It is dry.
I wish we'd get some rain. Catoma's beginning to look like a little creek again. Remember back in...
Should have them hemmed up.
That's, you can sit in the middle and fish, fish either side. So I think it was back in 2007 when we definitely had a drought. I think we even had to buy water.
Yeah.
You know, because
Catoma
got so low.
I was fishing
Catoma
during that time.
Oh, wait.
It was interesting.
Easy pickings, I guess.
What you need to do is pull one of Rex's tricks and take your video camera when the water goes down like that.
That's right.
And video, and then you know where all the structure is and all the good fishing spots.
That's right.
I've never been smart enough to do that.
Me either, and I said I was going to do that when Duck River, before they ever dammed it up, was to go out there and, you know, do a video and figure out, you know, where the ledges are and where it drops off and all that. I didn't do it. But nobody expected it to fill up in them one day either, or 2 days, whatever it was.
And when did Rich say that we'd be able to fish that?
He didn't. I don't think he knew. When I ask him, and I'll ask him again today if Rex is able to join us. He always is, but, you know, who knows? He may be off on a fishing trip somewhere getting ready for a tournament. So,
you know, I was actually off on a little boating trip yesterday, and Smith, you know, I think it's down to about 11 feet below full pool, and everywhere there was always a hazard buoy. Well, by golly, I saw the hazards yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. If you're not careful, you know, or especially around Miller's Flats and that, Miller's Bottom around through there, there's some places that you can be on the beach in a hurry.
Well, Ronnie, catch us up sports-wise. What is going on at Alabama? Another player gelled?
You know, I texted you earlier today, and I said, hey, have you heard this? Because one of the guys at work told me about it, and I was a little bit later texting you because Jeffrey had already contacted you and told you about it.
He is my information source.
He is your information source. That's exactly right. Jason, I don't know. You know, I can't put a finger on it. It's hard to explain. Granted, these kids, you know, they're 18 to 22 years old, and, you know, we can excuse it away all we want to, but the bottom line is, you know, when you're out at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning, and apparently now, and this is just what I heard, so I don't know if there's any truth in it, that a police officer may have smelled marijuana coming out of the vehicle. There was somebody else other than Timmy Williams in the vehicle, and I reckon they were the person responsible for that. However, I don't know that to be a fact, but here's what we do know. He's got a pistol in his vehicle, and he doesn't have a permit for it. Now, that is a misdemeanor. It's not a felony crime, but it is... You know, it is a crime, and he was arrested by the campus police, and he was charged, as he should be, you know, under misdemeanor charges of possession of a gun without a permit. Somebody told me that he has He has a gun registered in Louisiana. I do not know if that's true. I don't even know if he's from Louisiana. You know, I know nothing about that. But it is a distraction. It is something that no coach wants to have to deal with. And, yes, Saban has already dealt with it with Cam Robinson. Similar situation took place in his home state of Louisiana. He was in a vehicle. There was, I think, some marijuana possession by someone, and a gun was in, you know, in his either in his possession or his vehicle, or, you know, very similar circumstances. My question is, why in heaven's name are you out riding around with a gun at 1 in the morning?
Right.
And I don't care if you play at Alabama or you play at Auburn, you play at Jacksonville State, or you play at one of these high school teams. What in heaven's name are you doing out at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, not a lot of good things going on at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
You're not going to a Bible study, I guarantee you that.
Yeah, not a lot of Bible studies at 2 a.m.
No, there's not. So, you know, there's really no way to explain this away. My question to you would be, do you think he plays Saturday? That's awful soon. Today's Thursday.
Probably seeing who they've got. If I was Saban, I would sit him just
I would too.
Nothing else for an appearance.
Because I don't think he could if he has to go before the judge. I don't think it would be before. It wouldn't be tomorrow, I wouldn't think, anyway.
No.
To determine, you know, what's going to ultimately happen in this case. So, you know, I don't think he plays Saturday. Do you think he plays the next Saturday when Alabama plays Arkansas?
More than likely.
No question.
Yep. Unless something new comes up that we don't know about. Yeah, that's right.
Unless there's something new that we don't know about. Same situation, you know, with Cam Robinson. Cam was back playing, and I expect the same thing out of Williams. But it's unfortunate. It's really unacceptable. And you're risking yourselves, you're putting your life in danger at 1 o'clock in the morning riding around and you got a gun. I mean, there's a lot more bad that can happen than good. The best thing to be would be in your apartment at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Asleep.
Absolutely.
All right, local scene running. What do we got coming up this weekend?
Well, the local games we got going on, we're back into region play, Jason. So we have Coleman is going to be at Pale City. Cold Springs is going to be at West End. Now, that's West End at Walnut Grove. That's the West End out 278, not the West End in Birmingham. Okay,
A little bit different.
So this is out 278. Would that'd be 278 East, would it not?
Right.
Yeah, out 278 East. Hansville is going to be playing at Holly Pond. So we got two county teams playing that are in the same region. Vimont will be at Priceville. Good Hope at Haleyville. Haleyville, that again, I've already said it twice, this is region play, and bless Good Hope's heart, Haleyville is the number one ranked team in 4A. Their region is just absolutely brutal. Not to say some of the other schools don't have tough regions, and I'm not saying that at all, but for 4A, they are in the worst region they could possibly be in for quality, having to play quality people. So Good Hope's at Haleyville tomorrow night. And Fairview is at West Point. So there's two other county schools playing one another that are in the same region. Again, Fairview at West Point. So that is the local
scene. And for those wanting our picks, hold on. We'll do that later.
We cannot give that away.
I know there's probably somebody pulled over right now thought we were about to give them.
I saw some people. I think I even saw a police car out there. It may have been, you know, helping people get off the road.
Yeah.
And so
the Coleman police did call, run in, asked us to give at least 3 or 4 minutes notice before we started giving out the picks.
Right.
A lot of traffic accidents within the city of Coleman.
There are, and you know, that four to 5 o'clock time frame when people getting off work, you know, it's just dangerous, and we can't really give it at that time. And that's why we usually try to wait to about 5:45 because most people will be home by then, and they can, you know, get their picks and not put anybody in danger.
Speaking of picks, Chris Andrews will join us at 4:30 from Las Vegas, Nevada, the big city that never sleeps.
That never sleeps.
A lot of trouble you can get in at 2 o'clock in the morning in Las Vegas.
2 o'clock in the morning is about like 10 o'clock in the morning around here.
Isn't it? And then Dan Vosta and Rex Chambers all lined up as we do every Thursday, and Ronnie and I will mainly just man the ship here today.
That's right.
Thursday's an easy day.
That's right. Just coast
it. Just turn it loose.
Absolutely. And then at 5:30, Rex Chambers, he joins us, and he's our fishing guide, our fishing expert, pro, whatever you want to call him. He joins us at 5:30 each day and helps us figure out how we can put another fish in the boat.
All right. As usual, our first caller of the day is Mr. Florida State. Jeffrey, welcome back.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Jeffrey, how are you, bud?
Jeffrey, got a job for you.
Do what?
I got a job for you.
Oh, man.
High-paying job. If you would become the Bell's bondsman for the University of Alabama football team.
I tell you what. Jason, you shouldn't be so hard on them while you're sitting up there in an air conditioner and they're out there sweating in that hot sun.
Yeah, we can't convict them.
Wow, what's going on with that, Jeffrey? What have you heard? What you know? All right, and give us your opinion too.
My opinion is it is nothing to be swept under the rug. He bought a pistol in New Orleans. He bought a temporary permit for it in New Orleans, in his hometown. He left the permit at home in New Orleans and didn't have it with him. Now, here, from what I heard last I heard, I hadn't heard that since then, here's where it gets suspicious. It was his car. It was under the driver's seat. So, I mean, the weapon part's clear. But the last I heard, there was a guy with him, and it was in his car, not the guy that's with him. It was in Williams' car. The other guy was driving, and in the console, they had a bag of marijuana.
That's kind of what I heard. That's kind of what I heard too, Jeffrey. Now I haven't read it, you know, necessarily online, but that's what I've heard as well.
Well, here's where it gets weird. Apparently, the guy that smoking marijuana does nothing to your brain, but if it's any indication, this guy that was with him doesn't give him a good example.
Yeah.
Because from my understanding, he told the cops that he was asked to hold it for a friend, the marijuana, and the friend's name, Johnny Chicken.
Run that by us again.
The friend's name that asked him to hold the marijuana, Johnny Chicken.
Johnny Chicken.
Yeah.
All right.
I wonder how many marijuana cigarettes he had smoked before the police walked up there.
I have no idea. I think the weapons charge, I don't think there's going to be anything to it. I think, you know, it was a legally bought weapon. It was his.
Hey.
Like I said, the only problem was the temporary concealed carry permit.
I'm going to ask a question. I know neither one of you are going to know it unless you've heard it from somebody else. And if you did know it, you probably wouldn't tell me on the air. But I don't think either one of you would even know this. But when you're smoking marijuana, do you get higher the more you smoke? Is it like drinking? Like the more you smoke, the higher you get? And do you get to a point you just pass out from it? Or?
Well, I can honestly tell you that I have never smoked any kind of drugs.
I haven't either.
I don't either, so I can't answer that.
So I can't answer it?
But do you know? Have you heard or read? Or?
I will assume, but you know what they say about that.
Right.
I don't know.
There's somebody right now smoking a joint laughing at us.
There is. That's
right. And sometime later in the show, if someone who knows for sure can give us a call, you don't necessarily have to give your name, but just tell us, you know.
I've wondered that for a long time, and I've never found anybody to tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Jeffrey, do you think Williams plays Saturday?
I think he misses maybe a quarter.
Oh, you think he will play some? He will play Saturday?
Yeah, I believe he will play.
Okay, what about the marijuana that was in his vehicle? Did the other guy say, hey, this is mine?
The other guy claimed it.
Okay.
Claimed it was his. He was holding it for somebody else.
Okay.
We all know who he was holding it for.
Johnny Chicken.
Yeah. My question would be, and I'm sure Coach Saban's already asked, is what are you doing out at 1 o'clock in the morning in a vehicle with somebody else and a gun under your seat and a bag of marijuana in your console? You can't, there's no way, I wouldn't think, that he could justify, I'm saying,
Timmy Williams could say, I didn't know that marijuana was in there. There is no way right. you ever make me believe that.
Right. The reason they searched the car, from my understanding, from all I've heard and read, is the reason they searched the car is because they smelt marijuana, and as they got closer to the car, they smelt more and more of it,
right.
which gives them a right to search the car, from my understanding of the lawyer.
That's great.
His whole being there with the whole marijuana, does that make it more of a game?
Yeah.
But there's a possibility of statement taking for the whole game, considering it's Kentucky.
Yeah. I think that's what I would do. Just from a publicity standpoint, I just wouldn't let him play.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I would like to be a fly on the wall for that meeting when he talks to him about the marijuana.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be real plain.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey, quick question before we have to go to a break. I want to make sure we ask you this. Will Florida State end up with Blake Barnett?
Yes, that's my question. That's going to be my next question.
No, you know what my theory is? And this is completely me made up. Behind closed doors, LSU has already talked to Kiffin. And they want Kiffin as their head coach. They're going to hire Kiffin. Kiffin wants Barnett as his quarterback. So because of that loophole with him leaving the way he is now, he will either be eligible in October or he will be eligible the first year. A lot of people are saying the first year. Some are saying not till October. And he'll transfer to LSU.
So you think Kiffin's going to be LSU's next coach?
That is completely.
Jeffrey, LSU has been hitting the marijuana themselves. So.
Exactly. I don't believe. Like I said, I'm just making up some off the wall prediction.
Yeah. Well, you know,
you like that conspiracy theory stuff, don't you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
I tell you another one. I've got for you. If I got time before we go to break.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I predict Stoops is out at Kentucky this year, and they hire Les Miles.
Boy, that'd be a step down for Les Miles.
Yeah, sure would. But it might
be. He's still getting $10 million from LSU. Yeah. He can go up at Kentucky, and he wins 7 or 8 games at Kentucky. They're happy.
There's no question Les Miles is going to be coaching somewhere next year if he wants to. He's going
to
be somewhere.
If he wants to.
You know,
if he wants to, he's going to be making plenty.
But would he want to be at Kentucky though? That's man, I don't know. That just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, like I said, he can go up there and win 6, 7, or 7, 8 games a year, and Kentucky will be absolutely thrilled through the roof.
Oh yeah, there's people in Kentucky that don't even know they have a football team. So.
Exactly. They show up because they think there's a cookout on Saturday.
Right.
And then they realize there's something else going on.
That's right. Oh.
All right, Jeffrey, you hear the music, so you know what that means.
That means Jay ain't got no money.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for calling us, Jeffrey.
We'll see y'all.
Hey.
Have a great one.
You got it. Talk to you next week, Jeffrey.
All right, Sports Talk Live, 4:20. When we come back, we'll be back. May have Chris Andrews, or it may be 2 or 3 minutes. Stay tuned, we'll let you know. And stay with us, we'll be giving away golf today.
That's
Sports
right.
Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman. Bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger, or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey, Coleman. The Live 95 Battle of the Bands is this weekend. Live 95 is teaming up with the Coleman Lions Club again this year to bring back the Live 95 Battle of the Bands series. Live 95 works with local bands each year to give them a chance to perform for their community and be broadcast live on the air. Join Live 95 and the Coleman Lions Club at the Coca-Cola Entertainment Tent at the Coleman County Fair on Saturday, October 1st. And as usual with our Battle of the Bands events, the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. Join us at the fairgrounds or tune in live to 95.5 FM at 2:30 to hear Matt Graves. Then at 4 p.m., Shades of Ivy will hit the airwaves, followed by the Overtones at 5:30. At 7 p.m., Gary Sanders' Sidesteps will be returning, and we'll wrap up the evening at 8:30 with yet another new band, Roman Jones. We will see you Saturday at the Coca-Cola Entertainment Tent at the Coleman Fairgrounds. The gates open at 2, and the Battle of the Bands event kicks off at 2:30. Thanks for supporting Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Have you got car trouble? Then you need to visit Joe Hudson at Hansville Auto Service. Hansville Auto Service is a full-service maintenance and repair center with high-quality, guaranteed service that you can trust, and all at a fair price. Foreign or domestic vehicles, car, trucks, SUVs, or fleet vehicles, Hansville Auto Service has you covered. If you have a Wall Estate ID or you work at Wall Estate, you even qualify for 10% off pre-tax parts and labor. This month, Joe and his team at Hansville Auto are offering the following. Free basic check engine light scanning, 30% off pre-buy inspections, or 50% off a 5-quart conventional oil change as long as you visit them on Wednesday. Also, approximately 35% off air conditioning machine services. The shop offers free Wi-Fi while you wait, or get this, even a pickup and drop-off service. With over 30 years of experience, they're online at HASVC.com. That's HASVC.com. Or you can find them on Facebook by searching for Hansville Auto Service. Hansville Auto Service has you covered. For any questions, you can give them a call at 352-AUTO.
.424 Sports Talk Live on a Thursday afternoon, about 5 more minutes before we bring in Chris Andrews. Actually won't bring him in, but he'll be calling in.
That's so right. He'll join us.
That'd be a nice trick if we could bring him in.
Yeah, from that
Las
sure
Vegas.
Would from Las Vegas. That's exactly right. So, Jason, you know, Jeffrey, he threw out the idea, and, you know, his ideas are just as good as anybody else's, about the LSU situation. His thoughts were possibly Lane Kiffin and then Blake Barnett following him to LSU. Is that out of the realm of possibility? Now, Kiffin recruited Blake Barnett, so right. He's the reason he's there at LSU. So
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but
I had not thought it.
Question, why would you fire Les Miles to hire Lane Kiffin? First, why do you fire Lane Kiffin at this point in the season?
You didn't fire Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Les Miles. Well, how do you fire Les Miles at this point in the season?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, because they're getting the same results that they've gotten for the last year and a half. Offensively,
why not wait till the end of the year?
I'm with you there. If I was going to fire him, they should have just stuck with it last year and went ahead and did it instead of the mess that they got into by, you know, talking about they were going to do it and then they weren't going to do it, and that did nothing. That just undermined Les for this entire football season, I think. You know, they basically indirectly fired him last year by what has taken place so far this year. They have underachieved. They've looked terrible.
Right. Not saying he don't deserve being fired, but just the timing to me is.
You know, I agree. It's terrible. But, you know, it's all about what you've done for me. It's not necessarily lately. It's what you've done for me the last game or the last second of the game.
I've got an answer here, Ronnie, from an anonymous source.
Yes.
Who said they were pulling over to get our picks, and then we didn't give them. But they also said, you will just go to sleep if you smoke so much marijuana.
You just
go to
sleep.
If you smoke too much, you just go to sleep.
Oh, so, okay.
And they are anonymous. And
okay.
You go to sleep from being so chilled out, it says.
Oh, being so chilled out. Well, that's good to know.
Now, hey, anonymous, if you still can hear us, do you have a hangover from marijuana? That would be my next question. And, Ronnie, here's a question for you.
Or do you get up the next morning and smoke another joint, like if you were drunk and you were hungover, you get up and you drink another one the next day?
What is that, the hair or something of the dog that bit you or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Next question, what do they do in Colorado in these places where it is legal as far as the workplace testing marijuana and so forth?
I don't guess there's any testing if it's legal.
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea. But a business, you know, I mean, if you're going to work for them, you got to go by their rules. So.
Right. Like UAB, now it's illegal to have nicotine in your system.
If you're a UAB employee.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that is correct. I know they were trying to pass that, and I think it actually passed. And
I don't think that any of that would change as far as what corporations and businesses want to do.
They just had to fire me on the nicotine. Yeah. I got to have my skull.
I know. But, you know, what they might do out there, you know, if it puts people to sleep, their work day, they may not start until, you know, 9, 10. That may be the work day. Because if you passed out from marijuana, you're not going to be able to get up and get to work at 7:30 next morning, are you? I don't know either.
All right. Hey, Jay, can we go ahead and go to a break and so we can get Chris on the line here?
Jason's going to step out back.
Yeah, we're going to step out here and fire one. If we go over to the 4:35 mark, we'll be running late for our next guest.
That's right.
Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back with Chris Andrews. Stay with us.
Answer all your illegal drug questions.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more. We also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve
you. What do you see when you watch our students receive their diplomas? Susan Houck sees future leaders and skilled workers. Susan Houck agrees our educational system is second to none in college readiness. But Susan also knows 32% of students do not continue on to college, according to the recent numbers from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And it is our job to make sure those students are also career ready. Susan Houck believes rather than just ask our industries for adopt-a-school money, we should be asking what we can do to help our industrial workforce, such as career or industry days at our schools. When was the last time a Coleman student group toured one of our local industries? It is also time to take a look at maximizing the space we currently have instead of just raising taxes to expand and build. Susan Houck has new ideas to continue to move Coleman City Schools forward, but she needs your vote in the October 4th runoff. Susan Houck for School Board Place 2, October 4th. Paid for by Susan Houck, 1474 Orchard Drive Northeast, Coleman, Alabama, 35055.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the air.
provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Boy, that us talking about the marijuana has not led to good things here.
Oh, that's good music right there.
I guess.
You hear that at ball games all the time?
Oh, you hear a lot of stuff at ball
that's
games.
That's what Ronnie wakes up to in the morning, Jason.
That's exactly right.
All right, 4:32 means it's time for Chris Andrews out of Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting in the highest high-rise in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
I'm in my dungeon. What are you guys talking about high-rise? Use you guys as a reference here.
Hey, let me tell everybody.
Come on, fellas.
Chris, I was happy to get your text the other night after a ball game. My phone goes off. I look at it, and it's nobody other than Chris Andrews texting me a congratulations. Chris, first, what are your thoughts about the ending of the Auburn-LSU game?
Wait. I gotta jump in here for a second. Chris, you got a second?
Sure.
Jay, that one's...
He missed my joke.
Yeah.
I missed it.
I'm a little slow on the draw, you know. You
come on, Ronnie. Alabama fans should really get that one. You got a second? LSU didn't have a second.
Well, I got to tell you, like I told Jason, we needed Auburn. So, I wasn't sure about the call. And I'm still not sure about the call, but I'm sure happy about the call. That's all I can tell you.
Well, you know, it worked out best for you, Chris, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters to me, believe me.
Hey, Chris, I don't mean this as an insult to Jason, but I watched all of that game, LSU-Auburn, and I also watched Kentucky and South Carolina. And I'm sorry, there was nothing impressive by any of those four teams last Saturday. I thought it was pretty bad.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't watch too much of the South Carolina Kentucky game. It meant a little to us, but not that much. But the Auburn game was not great. There was pretty good drama. Like I said, if you have enough money on it, almost anything could be good. And we needed some. We needed Auburn. So I was watching that, and I was rooting for my good friend Jason.
Why I not? Hear you, Chris. I hear you. Ronnie always roots against me, but
no,
I'm used to it.
Jason claims that, Chris, that I root against Auburn. I do not root against them unless they're playing Alabama.
All right. Chris, what do you think about Les Miles getting the hatchet the next day? Well, how are you like to be Auburn, and you're the team that when you lose to them, you get fired?
I hadn't thought of it that way, but there were some discussions going into the game how it was a must-win for both coaches. Now, I didn't know they meant must-win by Sunday morning. I thought they meant, you know,
long-term.
We'd be reevaluating at the end of the season. I got to say, I was a little surprised. You know, I know he makes a lot of money, and then they fired Cam Cameron. I think at one time Cam Cameron was the highest paid offensive coordinator in the country, I think. And, that couldn't have been cheap either. But, when you look back, you know, really, it wasn't just that they lost. It was kind of how they lost. They lost. They haven't changed anything in the last 4 or 5 years. And I think certainly somebody had told them, you know, we've got to open things up a little bit. You're recruiting all these top athletes, and they're playing a game. It's almost like a 1960s style football, eventually some of the top athletes won't come to LSU if they think that they're just going to be bottled up for 4 years, you know. So I think it would have made sense to me if they had that edict from somebody up above and just, you know, really didn't follow it.
Right. One more, and then I'll let Ronnie jump on his Alabama Crimson Tide.
No, I got some more Auburn stuff. I got some more Auburn stuff.
If you are LSU, the powers to be at LSU, where, give me a couple of names, where's the first couple of places you are looking for a new head coach?
Well, I think there's very little question you're going to go after that Herman from Houston. I mean, that's, I think he's the top of everybody's list. You know, after that, I'm not sure. So people had mentioned Lane Kiffin, and, you know, we've mentioned on the show before, you know, Louisiana is a very quirky state. LSU kind of represents them very well, I think. It's always been kind of a quirky school. I mean, it kind of makes sense to go after Lane Kiffin, I would think. Tom Herman, he makes a ton of sense, but it's really going to take a lot of money. I think he has a pretty steep buyout over at Houston. After that, I'd have to start thinking about it. But, you know, Ed Orgeron, it sounds like he won't get the job. But, you know, he did a heck of a job at USC stepping in for Lane Kiffin. And, USC really has not had much success since he left. And I know he was really disappointed not to get the job. They offered him some sort of an assistance position, and he left and wound up at LSU. He's a real quirky guy himself. And I think that he probably wouldn't do so bad if they hired him. But it doesn't sound like he's in the mix. So other than those couple of names, I'd have to start thinking about it. There's some good names that I thought, got hired just this last year. Fuente from Virginia Tech I thought was a terrific hire by them. But I think he's going to stay put for a little while. I don't think he's going to be moving on.
I agree. Hey, Chris, you were talking about Ed Orgeron doing a good job at USC. I believe, didn't he not go 6-3 when he took over for Kiffin? I was thinking that was what his record was. I know it's not in front of you or anything, but he did a heck of a job, I thought, with USC, after the debacle with Kiffin. So
I don't know what exactly his record was, but you could just see they were playing much better football. And it was a situation, I think, similar to what LSU has, in that they had some really good athletes that, for whatever reason, weren't putting it all together. And he kind of, opened things up and let them go. And, I hear that the kids just love him. And, ordinarily, I would say, like, losing Miles would be maybe, have the program kind of shook up. Because he was well-loved, and I could see why they did love him. But Orgeron, I think, is the right man for the right situation right now, just like he was for USC a couple years ago. But I don't know. I like I said, he's kind of a quirky guy. Maybe they keep him, maybe they don't. I kind of think that they won't. But
if you're LSU,
the worst thing in the world.
If you're LSU, Chris, do you not have to look at what job he did at Ole Miss, though? His Ole Miss resume is less
awful.
Than... Oh, yeah. It's...
Yeah, but, guys grow, too. Perhaps he learned a little something. The one thing they just keep throwing out there all the time is, Bill Belichick, got fired in Cleveland, he lived and learned, and, maybe Ed Orgeron would do the same thing. I don't know. But I don't think he's in the mix. I think right now we're just talking, and, the powers that be at LSU will make that distinction, and I don't think they're going to hire him. I think they're looking elsewhere.
Exactly. Hey, you mentioned the words power to be, and I've got to ask your opinion on this. Jason and I have talked about it a little bit, and this is related to Gus, Malzahn. And my question or my comment is, at the end of August, Gus made the comment that he was basically going to take over the offense and is going to be calling the plays, and that's what he's good at, and that's what his fit is. And now we're 1 month later, and Gus is saying he's turning the play calling over to Lashley, that he wants him to do it, and he's just going to be the head coach. There's some rumblings there or some rumors that you hear about Gus turning it over. You got an opinion one way or another about that, Chris?
Well, I think you just kind of look at the results, and they just haven't been great, So, I don't know. At some point in time, if what you're doing isn't working, I think you maybe got to try something else. I mean, I was all for Gus calling the plays and running the offense, et cetera, et cetera. But so far, not so good. And if he feels there's a change that's due, I think I would buy into that. It looks like they definitely need some help, but I'm not sure exactly what it is. But they got to get a lot more offensive production out of that team.
I agree. This is looking down the road, and again, not as, quote, an Auburn fan, but doesn't that give Gus a little bit more leeway that if things don't go well, you know, the rest of this season. They don't win as many games as, you know, he would like, or the Auburn, you know, community or family would like. It'd be easier for him to, you know, cut his offensive coordinator loose, since he's not the one being Gus that's calling the plays. If Gus was still calling the plays, it would be kind of difficult to cut your offensive coordinator loose when it's you.
Yeah, you know, I know you guys have been in business yourselves, and you know, whenever you're in negotiations, it's always nice to say, "Geez, I would take this deal, but you know, my partner won't agree with it." You know,
right.
We have to make him happy, or you know, I have a board of directors to answer to, and you know, they would never let me take this deal, so we got to keep going. You know, so I think it's kind of the same principle. Yeah, of course, if you could, you know, if you could blame it on somebody else, and you know. You know, why not? Making that kind of dough, I'm sure he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to give up a job like that. You know, so you know, just interesting to see what would happen. Yeah, but I think that's something that would. You know, I could see the strategy long term, what he's doing.
Yeah. Hey, switching, going over on the other side of the state for us. We moved to Alabama, and hey, they've got their own set of issues and their own sets of problems. I know you've heard about it. The situation with. the situation with Tim Williams being arrested, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning yesterday. First of all, your thoughts and opinions about that, and then also the issue with Blake Barnett and his status with the University of Alabama. Is he still there? Is he not? Where is he going? So,
let's take the first one first.
Sure.
Williams, I just don't know why all these kids have to have guns. You know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, again, I don't want to make this a real political issue, but, you know, guys are, you know, you're hunting, you're protecting your family. I'm not opposed to that sort of thing. But I just don't understand why kids on campus need to have all these guns.
Right.
You know, I think it's just kind of crazy.
They carry them around like a billfold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. I mean, there's so many of them that, you know, it just seems like, yeah, give me your wallet, give me your watch and your gun. You know,
right.
Everybody has one. You know, I mean, I kind of don't get it. That's the thing, you know, and then, you know, I guess.
Does he play Saturday?
You know, I wouldn't, but I mean, you know, Bama's a pretty big favorite. You know, I mean, I think Saban.
Right.
It's an easy call at this point to show a little bit that you want to sit the guy. If it was, you know, LSU or Auburn up next, you know, may not quite so easy. Then, what's his name, Barnett? Is that his name?
Quarterback? Yeah, Blake Barnett.
Yeah, I mean, boy, there's, you know, I guess maybe where there's smoke, there's fire. But, you know, I know Saban has talked about not knowing anything about it. I kind of find that hard to believe.
Right.
But, you know, there's something going on there. And, you know, you got a freshman that's in there and, you know, looking pretty darn good. And he's going to, even if he jumps to the NFL, still going to be, you know, 2 or 3 years away. So, you know, I can see where a kid would want to do that. But, you know, I don't know. Just seems strange, the whole thing. But, you know, you guys would probably know that much, much better than I would.
Yeah. One of the guys that called in earlier, Chris, he was kind of out in left field throwing this idea out that
he's kind of out left field
all the time.
You hear
anyway. that Kiffin may end up at LSU and Barnett would end up at LSU with him because Kiffin, you know, recruited him to the University of Alabama. So, you know, who knows where the kid's going to end up? You know, I mean, now if he went and played, you know, at the FCS, then he doesn't have to see it. He can play immediately.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of guys that have done that lately with, you know, a reasonable amount of success. You know, it'd just be interesting. It's so hard to predict what these young kids are going to do, you know. And, you know, you got Lane Kiffin, and I think he's done a terrific job with Alabama. But he's got a little larceny in his heart, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, somewhere to open up like that, would you be all that surprised if Lane was pulling that kind of thing?
Mm.
I certainly wouldn't.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. But, we're in a different world of athletics than we used to be.
Yeah.
Now it's all about, you know, they want to get to that next level, and there's no such thing to a degree of loyalty for a school. It's I've got to get to where I can get some exposure and, you know, get drafted high and, you know, make my money. So, I understand Barnett's position there. You know, he's a very highly recruited kid.
Yeah, you know, and I guess listen, from where we're standing, it might be nice to stand on that pedestal and say, well, kids shouldn't do that, you know, but it is his life, you know, and if he feels that he has a chance to, you know, make the NFL and even become a star, I mean, you know, what's he going to do, go sell insurance or sell cars or,
exactly.
you know, play quarterback in the NFL? I mean, so like I said, it's easy for us to say what should or shouldn't happen, but it's his life, and you know, if he has those kind of aspirations and a reasonable expectation, I don't know that much about the kid,
right.
except that he's highly recruited. You know, if he has that expectation, I can understand why he would do something like that.
Right. Hey, Chris, I got one more question for you, and then Jason can ask you whatever he wants to. My question is this. This is back to Les Miles. This is an opinion. Does Les Miles have a better chance to be the head coach at USC next year because things aren't going well for them? Clay Helton, you know, he hasn't proved anything. I know he is certainly not high on your list. Or Penn State. I say Penn State because Franklin, he hasn't done a whole lot at Penn State from leaving Vandy. Matter of fact, in 3 years, he's 16-14. So could you see possibly he being at one of those two schools next year? And if so, which one would you put at the top?
Well, I could tell you this, you know, because I'm a Penn State guy. And, you know, my friends every Saturday, and I'm kind of getting worn out, you know, trying to defend Franklin.
Right.
But they hate him. I mean, they really hate him. You know. I know he's kind of, he's almost a little bit like a slickster, you know.
Yeah, right.
And, well, you know, Penn State, I think, you know, we talked about LSU being kind of quirky. Penn State's a little quirky, too, but in a much different way. You know, and you need a good salesman, which I thought Franklin really did a good job recruiting in some pretty tough, like a tough environment, I thought. So he's recruited great. He hasn't coached all that great, unfortunately.
Right.
And I remember saying in the beginning, you know, when all these recruits were coming in and they looked pretty good, I remember, so far so good. Now let's see it turn around on Saturdays, you know. So I can tell you this, they really dislike this guy. I'm not sure what kind of, you know, buyout or contract they have. You know, even though with all the stuff that cost them all that money with Sandusky, Penn State has a lot of money. They have a lot of money. You know, Les Miles, I really hadn't thought of him for Penn State because really the word that I'm getting, and I don't want to pretend like I have all this inside information.
Sure.
I really don't. But it seems like they were going to, the word I'm getting is that they were going to give Franklin one more year after this. You know, and
okay.
that may be true, it may not, I don't know. I don't think the same is going for Clay Helton, because I do know some people there that are, you know, I probably know a little bit more about behind the scenes at USC than I do at Penn State.
Right.
And they are not very happy with Clay Helton. And, you know, Lynn Swann is in there now, and he's kind of made it clear to certain people that, like, he didn't hire Helton. Now, he's not bailing on him.
Sure.
But he kind of lets them know that, you know, hey, this wasn't my guy. I didn't make this decision. So I think he's on much thinner ice, although Franklin is on some thin ice, but I have a feeling they're going to keep him one more year.
Okay.
That's just a hunch. Right? So I'd say I'd say there's probably a little bit better chance that he'd be at USC than Penn State.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, let's get out your crystal ball as we do each week, and I got a game or two I'll throw at you, and then you tell us any games that you're looking at that we may not be thinking of. First, we've got to get it off our conscience right to start with, get it off the back, Clemson-Louisville. Clemson started out maybe a favorite in some, now Louisville is, what, a one, one and a half?
Geez, are they playing this week? I hadn't heard anything about
No.
that. Yeah, that's certainly the game of the week. You know, I think gun to my head, I'd probably take Clemson in this one. I think as great as Louisville's looked, and they've looked fantastic, there's no doubt about it. You know, we expected a lot more out of the Florida State defense, but they were not very good. So this, I think, is going to be a huge test for that offense to play a very, very good defense in Clemson. You know, so I don't know that, hang on, somebody's calling me. So I don't know that they could, just, you know, I don't know that they should be the favorite in Clemson. facing that defense. A lot of great athletes on that Clemson team. But, you know, but then again, you know, just to take the other side, you know, some of these teams that have had tremendous amount of success 1 year doesn't automatically turn over the next year. And thinking of Ohio State, who last year just had, you know, a bunch of momentum from the year before, winning the national championship, had all these great players, and, you know, just never quite got it together last season. And you know, I'm just wondering if the same thing's going to happen at Clemson this year, because they definitely do not look like the same team that they were last year.
Right. Yeah, if they were the same team, Auburn would have been a lot further behind than what they were. The only game, Chris, in the SEC that really worth talking about is Tennessee-Georgia. Tennessee, three-and-a-half-point favorite. Who do you like?
Well, I like Tennessee in this one. And, you know, I opened the game 4, and right away the wise guys came in and took the plus 4. And I think they're imagining that maybe Tennessee's going to let down because they just had, you know, it was a huge win over Florida,
right,
a team they hadn't beaten in 11 years. And I know it was something that Butch Jones, you know, really had a focus on almost from the day he took the job. So that was a big game. But, you know, Georgia, you know, kind of on my bet against list all season. And I think we had kind of joked about it earlier that, you know, Miami was a hot team because they got Mark Richt, and Georgia was a hot team because they got rid of Mark Richt.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not sure which way either one of them goes, but I don't think Georgia's been all that great. And I think Tennessee, you know, Jones has recruited tremendously over the last couple of years. They've lost a couple of big games. They seem to be like a kind of a vulnerable team psychologically. But you look back, and I mean, last week, on the ropes would be a very kind thing to say. They were a lot worse than on the ropes. They looked like they were dead. And, you know, you look back at the Virginia Tech game, that was a game that they were on their ropes. And, you know, that was a pretty big game. They were playing in front of, like, what, 170,000 people, and a pretty big national audience, you know, a game that was getting a lot of publicity. And, you know, they didn't fold there, too. So that's twice that I think maybe, you know, a Butch Jones team in the past might have folded up, and they didn't. So right now I don't see them letting down against Georgia. I think they're the right side. I think they handle a Georgia team that's, you know, probably still a little overrated, even though they are a home underdog. But I don't think they're as good as people think they are.
Glad to hear you say that. I jumped on Tennessee as soon as the line, for entertainment purposes only, as soon as the line became available here in this area. All right, Chris, anything out there that has your attention that might be a play that would be worth looking at?
Well, you know, I think it's a pretty interesting week, but unfortunately, like the biggest games, you know, I don't have a strong opinion on. We got a great one tomorrow night with Washington and Stanford. You know, originally I kind of liked Stanford in the game, but their two corners are out. And really the wise guys have kind of jumped on that. They're on Washington pretty good, and I could see why. You know, I think right now, Washington, you know, with Chris Peterson, I love him as a coach, and I think, they have a great chance to be the top dog on the West Coast, which has been Stanford for the last couple years since Oregon's kind of given up that mantle. But, you know, this is kind of underreported. Washington is a really tough place to go play. I heard some guys talking earlier at Stanford. Steve, who is on with Van Pelt, played some ball at Stanford. He said when you go there, and if the crowd is into it, it's the loudest stadium he's ever been in. So right now I think this crowd will be into it, especially on a Friday night, and I think that's going to be a heck of a game. Getting up there a little bit, but I, you know, probably if it got much higher, I'd like Stanford. But keep your eye on that game. That should be a tremendous one. Some of the other ones I don't have a strong opinion on, although there's one tonight, not really a marquee game by any means, but I like Texas Tech. I think they're going to blow out Kansas. I think Kansas, we still haven't seen just exactly how bad this team is. They're bad, real bad. I think Texas Tech's the kind of team that if they get you on the ropes, you can forget about it because they'll just keep pouring on the points, and I don't see Kansas staying with them at all. So, you know, that's one that I kind of like. You know, like I said, that's not much of a game to go after. I'll give you one though too, down in your neck of the woods. I'll tell you who's getting a little bit better every week, and I've been, you know, I'd like charting these things like totally objectively, just kind of keep track of the math. Missouri's getting better and better every week. You know, they got a new coach that's come in there, and you know, sometimes it takes a new coach. You know, sometimes it takes them a whole year or even 2 years to get the program the way he wants it. But I think they're a little better than people think, and you never know how these kids are going to react to Les Miles being fired, yeah. Ed Orgeron coming in, and you know, it could be a positive thing for LSU, or maybe LSU just isn't as good as we thought they were. But Missouri's a team that's been a little better than people think, and I like Missouri with the points this week. I think they keep that game pretty close.
Chris, it's scaring me because I've took Missouri already too. So. Chris, before we let you go,
I have not. Yeah, I want everybody to know we have not. As a matter of fact, he forgot about poor old Chris. He usually sends me an email every week, but he forgot to do it this week.
Great minds run together.
That's
again.
It.
Is that what it is? Right?
That's my story. I'm going to give y'all credit
there
for
you
it.
Go.
I'm going to stick with it too. Then,
anything before we let you go on the NFL side?
Well, you know, NFL's always tough. You know,
there's never
any easy ones in the NFL. I gave you one dog game. I'll give you another one. I think Cleveland probably keeps it close with Washington. I think Washington probably a little bit still overrated. And, you know, Cleveland, you can get 7.5 or 8 as long as you're getting over that touchdown. I think they kind of hang tough. Some guy put it the other way. I saw it on Twitter. He says, you know, Cleveland's not abysmally bad. They're just kind of normal Cleveland bad. So that's a backhanded compliment if I ever heard one. But I think it's kind of true. You know, they're not horrible. They're just kind of regular bad. And I think that if you're regular bad in the NFL and you're getting over a touchdown, you know, then that's usually pretty good value. So I kind of like Cleveland. I know it's a terrible game. But listen, when you put up your money and you get paid at the end, they're all good, and that's the one I count.
That's
like.
It.
That's right.
No bad games when the money's on the line.
No, sir.
Well, Chris, we don't have time for the goofy questions this week, so I guess we'll let you slide. Yeah.
I was looking forward to that this week, Jason.
Get ready for next week, though. I'll have a week to
double down on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man, we thank you for joining us again, as you do each week. We really appreciate your input each week.
Well, my pleasure, fellas. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
All right. That was Chris Andrews from Las Vegas, Nevada, the city that never sleeps.
That's right.
And Chris is the man that sets the lines there.
He's high on the totem pole.
Oh, yeah. So you heard it. We'll run back over his picks at the end of the show. Coming up, we've got Dan Vosta, Campus Insider out of Chicago, Illinois. Stay with us, Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center.
Choose the apple over the cookie. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional we offer so many. Water aerobics classes, blood drives, CPR certification, tobacco treatment programs, over 1,000 screenings. Most are all totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Homewood police called the Dawson Recreation Center after a man reportedly threatened to get a weapon from his car after he got angry during a basketball game. Homewood Middle School briefly on lockdown only as a precaution. No one was hurt. The man escorted from the facility after he was questioned. Two men arrested in South Alabama in connection with a quadruple murder in South Carolina. Derek Coleman and Antley Scott arrested in Foley, accused of shooting and killing a man, woman, and two teens and injuring an 8-year-old boy in Holly Hill, South Carolina in 2015. Dr. Larry Contry says he's ready to lead the Birmingham school system. The interim superintendent has been with the system for more than 50 years.
I have been charged by the board to continue to lead this school district in the direction it wants to go, which of course is up to provide a quality education for every child in our school, all 24,000 of them. I take that challenge very seriously.
I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Pelham police believe the same suspects could be responsible for burglarizing businesses in Summerton, Montevallo, and possibly throughout Jefferson County. Pelham law enforcement releasing surveillance video showing a white and black male, both with tattoos on their arms and their faces covered, attempting to burglarize a business on Cahaba Valley Road. They left in a dark Ford Explorer or Expedition. Birmingham ranks as the third most dangerous city in America, according to a list compiled by 24/7 Wall Street. They based the rankings on FBI crime statistics. Violent crime went up 10% from 2014 to 2015 in the Magic City. St. Louis, Missouri topped the 24/7 Wall Street list. Alabama's newest artificial reef is in place. Two old boilers from Alabama Power's Theodore and Washington County sites welded to the barge, the structure providing a home to many fish, and its weight ensures it will not move around on the Gulf floor when storms come through. This artificial reef is one of more than 12,000 off Alabama's coast. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN.
Cooler weather, warm waters, and fantastic festivals and events make fall a great time to visit Alabama's beaches. Don't miss the National Shrimp Festival October 13th through 16th on the beach in Gulf Shores. Enjoy music, arts and crafts, and of course, lots of shrimp. The 32nd annual Frank Brown International Songwriters Festival begins November 3rd and runs through the 13th, hosted all over the island featuring the writers of songs we all know and love. The Hangouts, Oyster Cook-Off, and Craft Beer Weekend November 4th and 5th in Gulf Shores. Live music, fresh Gulf oysters, and 60 craft beers available. For the first time ever, the Wharf in Orange Beach will host the World Food Championships November 11th through 13th. This is the largest food sport competition in the world, featuring more than 300 teams from 45 states and 20 countries, all vying for a grand prize of $100,000. And after Thanksgiving, the Coastal Half Marathon November 26th in Orange Beach. Runners can participate in a half marathon, 5K run, or 1 mile fun run. What better way to burn off some calories? Find a full list of all the fun events and activities at calendarofevents@gulfshores.com. We can't wait to see you at the beach this fall.
In sports, Alabama linebacker Tim Williams arrested this morning by campus police in a parking lot of Publix on University Boulevard. Two officers say they smelled pot, approached a Chevy Impala where the scent was coming from. Officers found marijuana in the center console. Williams told them a friend gave it to him to hold. A Glock pistol was found, and Williams told the officers he had a temporary permit, but it wasn't in the car. Future up in the air for Alabama quarterback Blake Barnett now that he's transferring from the Tide. Coach Saban meeting with him about his future.
Blake is a fine young man. He's done a great job in this program, and, you know, we'd love to see him be a part of the program in the future, but we also want him to do what's best for him.
Barnett started in the season opener, but since then has backed up Jalen Hurts. Homecoming game for Alabama this weekend, also homecoming for Auburn University against Louisiana Monroe. And after a tree was burned at Toomer's Corner, authorities asking fans not to roll that tree this weekend. Angie Norfell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It is 5:05 on a Thursday afternoon, which means it is always time for our good buddy in Chicago, Illinois, Mr. Dan Vosta, to join us. Dan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on. Happy Thursday,
Dan. Yeah, same to you, Dan. Hey, we've got a little of that Chicago weather down here today. In the, you know, upper 70s maybe. It feels so good outside. A little breeze blowing. So, well, we're loving this fall in the south.
Perfect. Yeah, we got upper 60s. A little windy, but supposed to pick up potentially early next week. But not too shabby.
I got you. Hey, Dan, let me just throw one at you right off the bat. Did you see Gus Miles being fired after the Auburn loss? Did that surprise you?
A little bit, but not shocked. I thought if he would have told me going into the year, if he starts out 2-2, is there a good, decent shot and he gets fired? I wouldn't say bet the ranch on it. I'd say at least a 50-50 proposition he would get let go, especially with the way things have gone. Was just crucial and just abysmal clock management down the stretch of that game, and yet the offense, despite having as much as talented the skill players as anybody in the country, they still seem to underperform severely. So a little stunned based off, you know, maybe the last week You know, tough loss to Auburn, but not really stunning overall because it's just been a miserable season. And on paper, they were a top 10 team. Many people thought they had a chance to win the SEC and represent that conference in the CFP, and clearly have not performed up to par. So not stunning. A little surprising it was this week, but coming off that, you know, disaster, wasn't the biggest stunner of the season, to say the least.
Exactly. I think Gus will have you know, multiple opportunities to get back into coaching next year if he chooses. He may want to, you know, he may want a year or so off. You know, I don't know, but I certainly think he's going to, he'll be back in college coaching or coaching somewhere if he wants to.
Yes, absolutely. I think certainly maybe next year gets an opportunity potentially somewhere. We'll wait and see when that moment comes. But I think clearly he'll take at least a year off and maybe go from there because he's obviously he has maybe a couple of years at least of helping some program out, and perhaps maybe he still gets a decent job, but we'll have to wait and see if at least early on next year, I'm sure, once the season's over, we'll probably hear more.
Right. Let me throw one at you, Dan. This is certainly a curveball, and I asked Chris Andrews about this a few minutes ago. A couple of schools that might have something available, I'd like your opinion, which one you think would be a better fit for Les Miles? USC. Or if Penn State happened to get rid of James Franklin, which one of those two do you think would be a better fit for him?
Yeah, I certainly would favor Penn State. You mentioned, obviously, I talked just a few days ago about his opportunity with Michigan. He passed on reportedly in 2011. But, you know, he's a Michigan and Big Ten type of guy.
Right.
Where I think he loves that vanilla offense, roll your sleeves up, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of offense. And we've seen that come to fruition over the last few years with LSU and ultimately be one of the main reasons why he was let go and his team was disappointing because college landscape has really changed to the spread offenses and quarterbacks that can do so much. And in the Big Ten, you could still have an high formation, full house backfield, and get the job done. So I think Penn State probably looks a little bit more of a lean of a potential.
I agree with you, Dan. Hey, on to the things that we, you know, some other things today we want to talk about. Looking back over last week's games, in your mind, mm-hmm. in Dan Vosta's mind, who was the most impressive team last week?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a handful. I would give the edge, actually, to Texas A&M over Wisconsin. Certainly Wisconsin, big win in East Lansing and had previously lost four in a row at Michigan State. But I'm still kind of itching my, you know, my head over Michigan State. Nice win over Notre Dame. Now it looks like the Irish may lose five or six games this year. And, of course, Wisconsin beat LSU in the opener. LSU's not looking too good, so
right.
I would big-time credit to the Aggies. I think this is their best defensive efforts they've shown since the R.C. Slocum era, and I think this team's every bit as good as the team that finished fifth in the country in 2012 when Manziel won the Heisman and A&M finished 11-2. I think there's a great chance they'll at least match that record. Maybe they don't finish quite as high, but there's a chance also that Texas A&M could be perhaps the neck, you know, the best team in the country, not named Alabama, and luckily they get the two get to play in Tuscaloosa coming up here soon in a few weeks. So A&M, they're just stifling defensively. Their two biggest weaknesses, and so many in the country. Can you run the ball? Can you play big time defense? Well, check mark for both because Myles Garrett and Day-Day Hall off the edge for Texas A&M. They look like absolute stars, bookends. Garrett almost reminds me a little bit of Javon Kearse, former Gator and big-time contract with the Philadelphia Eagles not too long ago, over a decade ago. But I think this A&M team's for real, and we're going to find out coming up very soon. You have Tennessee at home next Saturday, and the following game, they go to Alabama. So that's their season. Can they win at least one of the two? If they do and can go 11-1, mark me down, Aggies get to the CFP. So they were the biggest, you know, impressive, most impressive team this weekend. Really, you know, stifled Arkansas, had three trips in the red zone, turned it over on downs twice, recovered a fumble on a third opportunity, and they won by three touchdowns. That's winning football, and the Aggies got the job done.
I could not agree with you more, Dan. I think that was by far the most impressive team was Texas A&M. Hey, on the flip side of that, who was the biggest disappointment? As if I probably already know who you're going to say.
Yeah, it's a toss-up for me, actually, between Notre Dame and LSU.
Okay.
But Notre Dame's talent level on defense, I think, is a clear notch or two down. So still a 20-plus point favorite over Duke at home. That's a miserable loss. But just the season for LSU and the way they lost, I'll give the edge to the Bayou Bengals, most disappointing. I mean, you're looking at about Malachi Dupree may be maybe not the next Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham, but you can mark him down for probably a late first, early second round draft pick come May. You know, Trayvon Darrell, he's going to be at least a mid-round selection. There isn't a better duo of receivers in the country, probably. Doesn't help that the offensive line hasn't played well and their quarterback issues comes to the head coaching. It's your job to recruit and, you know, make sure your quarterback can up, you know, play up to par. And they've just been miserable. And the clock management, they could pay any Joe Schmo, you and me can help Les Miles or any coach that can't keep track of time, you know, close to 100,000 to keep track of how many timeouts we have left. Teach our players when they go out of bounds and when not to. Simple clock management, when to throw, when to go deep, when to get a simple first down to move the chains. They failed miserably, and it was a big-time loss at Auburn. And obviously, that was, for me, the most disappointing with the way the game ended.
Not surprising. I think that was the case for everybody. And unfortunately, it was probably the biggest disappointment for Gus because, you know, the next day he's on his way out of town. So, hey, you know, my next question is, we know who the most impressive team was. I meant, did I say Gus? Okay. I meant Les.
Yeah, you did say Gus. I was going to correct you.
Okay. Jason wrote it down for me there.
Freudian slip, Ronnie. We'll give it to you.
He may be next. You don't know. We'll have to wait and see how Auburn plays out here.
That's exactly right. So you gave us your most impressive team, the team that was the biggest disappointment. What individual player had the best week?
Yeah, I thought it was a Heisman frontrunner in the preseason. Been a little bit of a bust this year. That would be running back Florida State, Dalvin Cook. Well over 250 yards against South Florida. They gave up a bomb to the Bulls on the first play of the game. We're down 7-0. Next play, Dalvin Cook took it to the house for, you know, over 75, 80 yards for a touchdown. Big time game. Florida State couldn't run the ball. We mentioned on the show actually a week ago exactly, I said Florida State needs to get back to the KISS formula. Keep it simple, stupid. Offensive line got back. Hog Molly's opened some holes up for Cook, and he showed off the electric ability he has to potentially be a top 10 pick next year. So Cook, big time performance. They need more of those if the Noles want to get back into the CFP conversation.
Okay. Speaking, piggybacking off of that, Jay, the CFP, I said Jay. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said Jay. Dan, I'm
put
sorry.
I've
got exactly.
See, that little too much.
It's funny. We were earlier when we first came on the show. We were talking about smoking marijuana and, you know, the effects it has on you. I don't do that, but apparently I've got some problems. So the CFP, the playoff. Give us which conference you think might possibly be able to get two teams in, and break that down. Tell us why you think so.
For sure. I think it's a legit possibility it's going to happen this year. And certainly, I think three have legit possibilities. I'll go with worst to first. Worst chance I would probably give to the Big Ten. You had to hope Michigan and Ohio State both go 11-0, final game of the regular season, winner goes 12-0, ultimately wins the Big Ten title the following week to go 13-0, and that one loss to the loser would be 11-1. Potentially both could get in. That's the Big Ten's best-case scenario. The second best chance, if you will, know the pack, I would give to ACC right now. It's going to be a little chaos. Obviously, we have Louisville, Clemson this week. But if home turf wins out, which would be Clemson over Louisville, Florida State over Clemson, you have a three-way tie. Obviously, they have a firm that's representing the CFP that's going to decide for the ACC who goes to the ACC title from the Atlantic. Potentially, you have them 2-11-1 teams, or let's just say Louisville wins out, Florida State or Clemson with one loss potentially could get in. I lean towards Florida State. They have a tougher schedule. Clemson is kind of on cupcake schedule coming up after they play the Ville in Florida State. Florida State still has Miami, North Carolina this weekend, Florida. So good chance Ville and Florida State could represent them. But I believe the best chance is still the SEC. I mentioned A&M. They go 11-1 with just one loss to the top-ranked team in the country, to Bama. Mark me down for the Aggies to get in over the likes of an undefeated, maybe San Diego State, Boise State, or perhaps a Houston team. We'll have to wait and see if they do win out. That could be a different discussion. But even a one-loss Houston, it doesn't have a chance over a one-loss A&M team. And then I still like the Tennessee Vols. They have to go to College Station next weekend. So you throw one of those two in, plus Alabama, if they can win out, there's a legit possibility that one of those three are going to get two, and I'm leaning towards the SEC at this moment still.
Oh, we still, that's what we like to hear now, two SEC schools getting in. Hey, Dan, looking at the game for this weekend, who's your upset pick for the week?
Yeah, I mentioned a little bit of a team earlier. Michigan State on upset alert. Mark me down for the Indiana Hoosiers. Night game in Bloomington. Only about a touchdown dog. I'm calling for the upset there. The Hoosiers, I think, are going to stun Michigan State, trying to pick up the pieces from a tough beatdown at home to Wisconsin. Lots of questions offensively for this Michigan State team. No explosive NFL studs at the skill players at this moment in time. Defense is still pretty respectable, but Indiana's been able to move the ball this year despite the loss of Jordan Howard, who of course now starting for the Chicago Bears. So I like Indiana potentially sneak into a bowl game. They win this game, they're in. I'm not really loving Michigan State. I've not been impressed whatsoever with them so far this year. So Hoosiers, my team to potentially pull off an upset. I like your chances.
All right. I got one more for you, and then Jason's going to ask you a few.
Mm-hmm.
Best shot to get into the college football playoff, is it Stanford, Washington, winner, or Clemson, Louisville, loser?
I'm liking Clemson, Louisville, loser. Now, obviously, if Stanford and Washington went out, they're going to probably get in over them, but I don't think that's going to happen. Stanford still has Oregon, Cal, Notre Dame all on the road. And Washington's schedule, it is the easiest maybe of the bunch, but their next two games are tough. Stanford, of course, this weekend on Friday night, the following week they go to Eugene, and maybe the Ducks are down, but they've still been able to score some points. And I'm not really – I love Washington, but I didn't think they're going to win out this year. I don't like their chances. If they have one loss, kiss it goodbye with that schedule. And I think Louisville and Clemson, to lose that game, if Louisville does lose, I love their chances because of the it factor, the eye test. Lamar Jackson – potentially could still be there. If Clemson has one loss, and it's a close home game to Louisville, potentially is the number one team in the country, I like their chances very well as well, because Clemson, if they only have one loss, that would include a road win over at least a 9 or 10 Florida State win team. So I like the ACC's chances. They've been obviously featured in primetime games more. They've passed the eye test. Over the years, they've had better players. And on paper right now, clearly the ACC, you could argue just the Atlantic Division alone, is much more dominant than the Pac-12 thus far.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan. Speaking of Stanford and Washington, they play Friday night. Who do you think wins that game and takes control of the conference from there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, big-time North matchup. I'm loving the Huskies at home. This is the matchup they've been waiting for. Not favored by much. It's about 3-4 points. Big-time quarterback Jake Browning is licking his chops right now, because the two starting corners for Stanford are not expected to play. Many say will not play. So Stanford, defensively, have always been good through the years. But this Washington team under Chris Peterson looks to be their best team by a mile since 2000. And this has been the year, obviously, of the running back, but it's also been thus far the year of the teams from the 90s. They're officially back. Michigan looks back. Tennessee looks back. Nebraska looks like they could be back. Miami looks like they could be back. And Washington looks like they're going to be back. Mark them down for at least 10 wins. I had them going in the Rose Bowl in the preseason. I think they get the job done, get a big-time victory. And I think they could put a little spanking on Stanford. Give me the Huskies 30-14.
30-14. That's pretty strong, Dan.
That's right.
Hey, speaking of strong, the Badgers crushed Michigan State last weekend. They play Michigan this weekend. Can they slap Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines around?
I don't think so. I think their defense will keep them in the game for at least three quarters. But I just question Alex Hornibrook, the quarterback for Wisconsin, the southpaw, if he can dissect that passing game against a very explosive, capable Michigan defense that on paper is probably still a top-five defense. They suffered a few minor injuries, but they have Jabril Peppers, who, a redshirt sophomore, was a five-star 3 years ago. Many feel he can be the next type of Jalen Ramsey type of player. He can play in the box. He can cover their best slot receiver or tight end, and he can make big-time tackle for losses. And he's got that Desmond Howard, Charles Woodson type of feel. He can bring a kick, punt back. And I think Michigan's going to take big-time advantage of that in the fourth quarter. So I like the Maize and Blue at home, 27-13 in a hard-fought battle. Wisconsin's a pretty good team, but I think Michigan's a clear-cut top-five, top-ten team at this moment. I think Wisconsin's going to catch up with them a little bit with the schedule, even though it's look a little bit easier on paper than we thought maybe in the preseason where we thought it was going to be very tough. They got some tougher ones coming up, but this is their first L. I like the Maize and Blue.
All right, two games, Dan, and then we'll let you slide out of here. SEC matchup, we know you're a little sweet, usually on the Georgia Bulldogs. They face the Tennessee Volunteers this weekend. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, I like the preseason pick of Tennessee. I've been riding with them. I'm not ready to jump off the bandwagon just yet. Big-time win obviously over the Gators last week. The passing game has really developed. Just look at the last couple of years. But Josh Dobbs has been legit in the second half of ball games. It's been amazing. From a year ago, Tennessee started off really hot and faded when it mattered most. Now this season, they've been rising to the occasion and playing their best when it matters most. Jalen Hurts has a pretty good season so far, but he's waiting for a breakout game. I think this is the game that Jalen Hurts gets it going. I like the Vols. So much talent defensively, but that passing attack with Josh Malone, who, quite frankly, looks like the best receiver in the SEC right now. So I like the Vols at home over, I should say, on the road in Athens over Georgia. So give me Tennessee 26-17.
I like that, too. They cover the spread, and that's what's important. All right, the big one of the week, Dan. This is what it's all about. Clemson or Louisville?
I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the Clemson Tigers. I think they're, you know, slight underdogs in this game. You don't see that much. You got to go back to 2013 when they were underdogs twice in the season. But playing the home night game, I think, is a big advantage for them. Obviously, they got blasted by Florida State in 2013, but Jameis Winston had a loaded NFL team. No disrespect to Lamar Jackson or this Louisville team, but I think Clemson has a slight advantage in the NFL talent. Playing at home, Deshaun Watson in that ground game with Wayne Gallman in the backfield, I think will get going. They've been struggling a little bit offensively, but picked it up the last 2 weeks. I just love their chances. Plus, you got to go away from that SI curse with Lamar Jackson on the cover. But I just love Clemson playing in a night game at home. They're nearly unbeatable. So give me Clemson in a shootout, 34-31.
All right. That sounds like a good one. No doubt,
that's
Dan.
That's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. Dan, will you be watching the Clemson-Louisville game?
Oh, yeah, every possession. You know it.
All right. Hey, man, we appreciate you joining us again this week, as you do each and every Thursday, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
You got it, guys. Enjoy yourself this weekend and enjoy the games as much as I will, I'm sure.
All right. Have a great one, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
You got it.
All right. Dan the Man.
Dan the Man, Vasta, Campus Insider, Chicago, Illinois.
That's it. 5:23, or let's call it 5:24, just ticked over. So we're about 6 minutes away from Rex, or who knows? He may call in any second.
Call now, Rex. Call now if you need to. I know you're going bowling.
All right. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. We'll be right back. And if Rex don't call, we'll be giving away golf.
School Board Place 2, thank you for your vote and support in the general election. But we remind you, Chris Branham needs your vote again in the runoff October 4th. As a lifelong resident and business owner in Cullman, Chris Branham believes you lead by example. Today's students are tomorrow's leaders, and Chris Branham wants to serve on our school board to continue the progress of our schools and set an example for our students of giving back to our community. From kindergarten to graduating from Cullman High School to Wallace State to opening his own small business and coaching local youth sports, Chris Branham believes in giving back to our community that gives so much to us. Voting is one of the most important rights we have as Americans, and Chris Branham needs your vote October 4th. Chris Branham for School Board Place 2.
I'm voting for Chris Branham.
I'm voting for Chris Branham.
I'm voting for Chris Branham.
I'm Chris Branham, and I ask for your vote October 4th.
Paid for by Chris Branham, 1603 Woodland Street Northwest, Cullman, Alabama, 35055.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Cullman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Cullman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger, or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey, Coleman. The Live 95 Battle of the Bands is this weekend. Live 95 is teaming up with the Coleman Lions Club again this year to bring back the Live 95 Battle of the Bands series. Live 95 works with local bands each year to give them a chance to perform for their community and be broadcast live on the air. Join Live 95 and the Coleman Lions Club at the Coca-Cola Entertainment Tent at the Coleman County Fair on Saturday, October 1st. And as usual with our Battle of the Bands events, the whole thing will be broadcast live right here on Live 95. Join us at the fairgrounds or tune in live to 95.5 FM at 2:30 to hear Matt Graves. Then at 4 p.m., Shades of Ivy will hit the airwaves, followed by the Overtones at 5:30. At 7 p.m., Gary Sanders' Sidesteps will be returning, and we'll wrap up the evening at 8:30 with yet another new band, Roman Jones. We will see you Saturday at the Coca-Cola Entertainment Tent at the Coleman Fairgrounds. The gates open at 2, and the Battle of the Bands event kicks off at 2:30. Thanks for supporting Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
.528 Sports Talk Live, and I do think we have Rex Chambers on the line with us. And Rex, I'm going to say one thing before I turn it over to Ronnie. War D Eagle.
Hey, watch it. Family show.
Yeah, that was, I don't know what you call it, underwhelming.
Hey, a win is a win. We got to take them any way we can get them this year.
I agree. I'm going to tell you how fortunate you two are. If y'all would have come back to me 15 seconds earlier, you better have found a dump button, because this lady, if I tell you,
Hey, and you can't turn the light on and pull her over anymore.
No, not anymore. I can't. I tell you what, I rode around in this town for the last 30 plus years, and I tell you, my goodness. We such a lovely, lovely little town. We got the worst driving.
I don't doubt that.
She wasn't pulling a boat while she goes. I mean, Rex.
Pick a name, Ronnie.
It's hit and miss on names today for Ronnie.
Hey, you call me anything you want
to. I've done it all day. I called Dan, somebody, Jay, and I don't know what's going on, Rex. I'm calling everybody by the wrong name. So, anyway. Hey, Rex,
I've been called worse through there.
I bet you have. Hey, were you on the water today, Rex?
I sure was. Out on Smith Lake practicing for Bass Fest. Been out there all week.
Hey, did you wear them out? It's cooled off now.
No, it has cooled off. Made me the biggest liar in the world because they still ain't
buying. Oh, goodness. I told my son last week, he was at a ball game or something and couldn't listen, and I told him and said, hey, Rex says, you know, about a week or so away, he put a bunch in the boat last week, small ones, but put a bunch in there. So,
hey, Rex and Ronnie.
And it's the same. You can still go catch a lot of little fish. I thought the size would get there as the water temp got to 80, 81.
And yeah.
It just hasn't happened yet. Any day now.
Right.
Back to your comment about driving. I don't know how much you guys listen to the station in normal times, but we air this on quite a regular basis. Y'all just listen to this for a second.
Hey, Coleman. Here's a public service announcement from Live 95. That yellow light in front of you at the intersection? Contrary to popular belief, it doesn't mean speed up. It means slow down and prepare to stop. Just another friendly reminder from Live 95.
Hey, some lessons are just hard to learn.
Some are hard to learn. That's right. Hey, Rex, speaking of water temp, what is it right now?
First thing in the morning, this morning it was 80.3. That's your surface temp, but that's
about 4 degrees shy of what it was last week.
Right.
I thought, like I said, I said that when it hit 80, 81, it was going to be like a light switch.
Yeah.
They keep missing that switch. I don't know. Like I said, it's still easy to go catch a lot of little fish. You can take a little small popar or a small Zarespook. The problem is this. Is for some reason, on one part of the lake, on the upper end of the lake, on Simpson Creek area to the dam, the shad that the fish are chasing are less than a half inch long. They're very, very small. And the big fish care nothing about those fish.
Sure.
They could care less about those little bitty shad because there's such an abundance of the blueback herring and the gizzard shad.
Right.
Out down deep. And I'm talking, you know, 5-inch, 6-inch fish that these 2 to 5 pounders are eating. So they're staying down deep with that bait. And the little fish are gorging. I mean, you go catch a 10-12-inch fish right now, and he looks like he swallowed a baseball.
Yeah.
And they're just, I have one area to where I, just to put a number on it, it's probably a 4-acre area. And I'm talking 1,000 feet by 1,000
sure.
feet. And there's got to be 200,000 fish right there.
Oh my goodness.
But you're not going to get your big fish out of a hole.
Right, right. The rest of it. Yeah.
It don't do me any good. It don't do anglers any good fishing this weekend. Cause you can go have fun, but you're not gonna even sniff a check catching more fish.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you this. You know, in this area that you're talking about, can you essentially now with it cooling off and the temperatures getting cooler and the bait fish, you know, even though they're a little bitty, small bait fish up top, is this day after day after day that they're on surface like that?
It is, but they move. You know, this one area I'm talking about, they've been there for 4 weeks now in the same area.
Right.
But they might move 100 yards up or 100 yards down. It just depends on where the bait, which way the wind's blowing, and if they pulled any water, you know, and the water has come down about a foot and a half the last couple of weeks. So, like I said, they've been there for a month. They're not going anywhere. I mean, there's no reason for them to go anywhere. There's so much bait fish there. It's just unbelievable. It's a little bitty. Our shad spawn, and I'm thinking the problem is this, is since the blueback herring's taken hold so hard on Smith, that is the bigger fish's number one food source. I went my arm again. and because of that, the other shad base has just exploded because nothing's really been feeding on
it
the last couple of years, and there's so many. I mean, you can, there's places on the lake right now that when they come up, you can walk across them from shore to shore.
Wow.
But they're all little fish, which, hey, for the last couple of years, I haven't caught a lot of little fish.
Right.
Things been good 15-inch plus fish the last couple of years. So, you know, it's a sign that we've had a really good spawn in the last 2-3 years. It's a sign that we've had a really great shad spawn, but it's got me a little concerned on our lake as far as fishing goes, as far as what the problem is for our big fish right now.
Right.
You know, the state said that, you know, blueback herring run a lake. Well, I refer back to Lake Lanier and a couple of other blueback lakes where, you know, they've been thriving with blueback herrings for the last 20 years. But I just think our fish on Smith have hit a learning curve right now, and that they've learned that, hey, we can stay down here 30 feet deep and get all these bluebacks that we want. We don't have to go to the surface.
Yeah, there's no work involved.
And they can just sit there and wait. I mean, really, too, I can draft fish 30 feet deep all day long, good fish, sit there. But getting the bite's a different story.
But that's what I was going to say. I mean, a big, nice fish or a school of fish that you find at 30 feet, are they going to be more difficult? This is going to be a stupid question. Are they going to be more difficult to catch than that same school of good fish that are, you know, chasing shad, busting the surface?
Oh, yeah. The fish that come to the surface are stupid. I mean, they're not.
And I don't mean in a knowledge standpoint. I mean because they're just, they're feeding so fast. Anything that moves by their head, they'll slap at it and get caught. But the fish down there 30 foot deep, they're just sitting still or sitting on the end of a point. They're sitting on a drop off or sitting on a brush pile, and they just sit there and wait, and they're just fat and happy.
Right.
They're not actually down there chasing fish. They're just sitting there waiting on the swim by.
Exactly. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it this weekend that there's a big tournament down there?
The Bass Fest, third annual, is this Saturday.
Okay.
People can sign up tomorrow night. I think the meeting starts at 6 o'clock at the Ag Center.
Okay. I thought I had seen some, banners out around town about the tournament.
This is the biggest tournament of the year for, local tournament that anybody can get in. This is I figured we're probably going to have 200-plus boats. I think they've had over 200 the first 2 years. So 150, 200 boats, putting in at that little bitty boat ramp at the park is aggravating.
Absolutely.
That was supposed to be fixed this year, but apparently our county commissioners want to build putt-putt golf or something. Money away.
Yeah.
I ain't happy about that.
I understand. Hey, Rex, with the the lake kind of being as it is right now, do you expect the winning weights to be high, or do you anticipate them being maybe a little bit lower than average?
No, winning weights, I don't care what lake you're on or how tough a fishing is. You put 200 boats on the water, somebody is going to sit down on some feeding fish a couple of times during the day and have a decent bag.
Right.
So I'm. Last year it only took 15.5 pound to win. The year before it took 17. Actually there was a tie for first place last year. And so I actually think it's gonna be that 16. I'm going with 16 pound.
Okay.
Somebody may get 17.5.
Right.
But absolutely nothing over 17.5. But the 11 to 13 range is gonna be a booger. That's just going to be a lot of people, 11 to 13 pounds. That's probably the going rate right now.
Right.
But it's going to take 14 plus to make a top 10.
Okay. What's the payout for the tournament?
$10,000 first place for the team. It's team tournament. And then there's a boat deal, first place, kind of a hodgepodge thing. First place weight ends in .00. They win a boat.
Right. Okay. How can somebody still has not signed up and they want to? What do they need to do?
Show up at the Ag Center tomorrow. Get there about 5:30 and sign up at the Ag Center. So I think they have a late fee tomorrow. I think it'll be $150 per team entry fee.
Okay, and that's the last opportunity tomorrow.
That's the last opportunity. Cannot sign up Saturday.
I got you.
Be at the meeting tomorrow. Everyone has to be at the meeting tomorrow night.
I got you. Okay. Any other tournaments around that people might be interested in within the next couple of weeks or so?
Not in the next couple of weeks. Okay. We have the autism tournament the first week of November. So we'll talk more on as it gets closer. That's going to be a great event. And then I'll leave out Tuesday going to Eufaula for the Alabama Bass Trail Team Championships.
Hey, now, is that going to be televised?
It will. There'll be a show. They'll do a show on it. I don't know when it will air. But,
you'll let us know.
There will be a show on it. First place in that one is a New Phoenix bass boat. So, and I'll be fishing it solo. So I ain't got to split it with anybody.
Now, you said you were headed out Tuesday?
Yeah, see, I'll leave Tuesday for it. And official practice starts this Wednesday, Thursday, and the tournament's on Friday, Saturday.
Okay. Practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the tournament Friday, Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
All right, fantastic. Hey, Rex, thanks, man. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure you're going bowling, so we don't want to hold you up.
Y'all have a great week.
You got it, Rex. Thanks, bud. All right, there was our good buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers. I forgot to ask him how he can... If somebody wants to go fishing with him, how they could hook up with him, but they can find, I know they find him on Facebook, Rex Chambers. Look for him on Facebook, and I'm sure if he has some dates available, he will be glad to take you, but I'm sure he doesn't have many openings. So that's the way to get a hold of Rex if you want to. It is 20 minutes until 6 o'clock. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, get your pens and your paper, your iPads, whatever it is that you take notes on, because we're going to give you the very, very latest and hottest picks for the high school and college football.
Guaranteed winners.
Guaranteed. You got it. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Coleman.
Have you got car trouble? Then you need to visit Joe Hudson at Hansville Auto Service. Hansville Auto Service is a full-service maintenance and repair center with high-quality, guaranteed service that you can trust, and all at a fair price. Foreign or domestic vehicles, car, trucks, SUVs, or fleet vehicles, Hansville Auto Service has you covered. If you have a Wall Estate ID or you work at Wall Estate, you even qualify for 10% off pre-tax parts and labor. This month, Joe and his team at Hansville Auto are offering the following. Free basic check engine light scanning, 30% off pre-buy inspections, or 50% off a 5-quart conventional oil change as long as you visit them on Wednesday. Also, approximately 35% off air conditioning machine services. The shop offers free Wi-Fi while you wait, or get this, even a pickup and drop-off service. With over 30 years of experience, they're on hasvc.com. That's hasvc.com. Or you can find them on Facebook by searching for Hansville Auto Service. Hansville Auto Service has you covered. For any questions, you can give them a call at 352-AUTO.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve
you. What do you see when you watch our students receive their diplomas? Susan Houck sees future leaders and skilled workers. Susan Houck agrees our educational system is second to none in college readiness. But Susan also knows 32% of students do not continue on to college, according to the recent numbers from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And it is our job to make sure those students are also career ready. Susan Houck believes rather than just ask our industries for adopt-a-school money, we should be asking what we can do to help our industrial workforce, such as career or industry days at our schools. When was the last time a Coleman student group toured one of our local industries? It is also time to take a look at maximizing the space we currently have instead of just raising taxes to expand and build. Susan Houck has new ideas to continue to move Coleman City Schools forward, but she needs your vote in the October 4th runoff. Susan Houck for School Board Place 2, October 4th. Paid for by Susan Houck, 1474 Orchard Drive Northeast, Coleman, Alabama, 35055.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or a bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
But I-45 Sports Talk Live. And Ronnie, is it just me or did Jay sound like he was on crack?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have somebody come give him a test here before we let him get the car drive.
We're covering the whole entire drug scene today.
Hey, it is, Jason, it is 5:46. If someone wants to win a free round of golf at Cross Creek, formerly known as Cullman Municipal, give us a call at 737-9505, and we will hook you up with a free round of golf, including golf cart, which is, you know, it's going to be worth about $30 to you. So
can't beat that deal. As you told earlier, in case anybody missed it, if you're worried about missing a football game, the carts are Bluetooth equipped now. You can listen to your favorite football team while you're up on the green putting in an 18-footer.
Absolutely. So. I've never seen that before, but I guess it's new.
Hey, we'll go sometime, and I'll just listen to the ball game if you play golf.
You know, the only problem now, you know, it's changed so much, is you used to only get to see, you know, your team play two or three times a year. Now they're on every week, you know, regardless of who they're playing, basically, they're on TV.
And you are the same age as me, right around the same age.
Yeah,
and
a little older.
Back when we were kids,
yeah,
remember, it was a treat to see your team
play.
It
was huge.
Alabama and Auburn, not on TV every year.
No.
A lot of years they were, but a lot of times you got the old radio out.
That's exactly right.
Set it up and sit there and looked at the radio and
absolutely.
Listened.
You know, years ago when we were kids, we used to go dove shoot. We'd carry a radio with us, listen to the game because we couldn't watch it.
And
there was no cable. You know, you had about three channels.
Yeah,
and that's all you had.
It's not a question now if they're going to be on TV. It's just what channel.
That's right. What channel, what time.
Yep.
So, all right, here are our picks.
Hey, give them a fair warning.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're about to give our picks for, that's exactly right, for our high school and college games for this weekend. So take care of things, plan accordingly. If you're in a vehicle and you want our picks, please make sure you get off the side of the road. Be better than pulling into a parking lot.
Right.
Get your writing utensil or your tablet, whatever you want to take some notes on. And then, you know, get these picks down because they will be valuable. No question.
And we'll start with the high school.
Yeah,
that gives everybody a chance.
That's right.
Before we get to the college.
That's exactly right. All right, Jason, here we go. Cullman versus Pell City.
Cullman versus Pell City. I don't know anything about Pell City,
right.
So I'm going with Cullman.
You're going with Cullman. I'll do the opposite. I'm just going to go with Pell City just because you went with Cullman. Cold Springs at West End Walnut Grove, not West End Birmingham.
I've got to go with Cold Springs.
I will join you. I will also go with Cold Springs. Hansville at Holly Pond,
the Bulldogs and the Broncos.
That's right.
This is going to be a big change this year, but I think the Broncos gets the win.
You're going with the Broncos, the green and white.
Yep.
And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going with Holly Pond as well.
Hottest team around.
That's exactly right. Vimont versus Priceville.
Who beat Priceville 48-0 the other night?
I think it was Fairview.
Fairview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Vimont in a squeaker.
All right. I'm going with Vimont just like you are. Good Hope at Haleyville.
I'm going to go with Haleyville.
I would have to agree with you.
Squeaker?
No, probably not. Fairview at West Point.
I'm going with the Fairview Aggies.
You're going to go with Fairview. I'm going to go with West Point. So there are our high school picks for this week.
Now it gets down to the nitty-gritty.
Now it gets serious right now.
All right.
For entertainment purposes only.
Game tonight, Ronnie. Stanford and Washington.
Washington.
I'm going to go the opposite and go Stanford.
Yeah.
Tennessee and Georgia.
Georgia.
Oh, no way that's going to happen.
Georgia, I'm telling you, Georgia will beat Tennessee. Guarantee it, Jason Spiegel.
Let's go to lunch.
Bet you lunch.
All right, lunch.
Lunch.
We shook on it.
All right.
Everybody's seen it on the air.
No point spread or anything. It's just win.
Straight up.
Straight up win. All right.
Utah and California.
Utah.
I'm going Utah also.
Okay.
All right. This is a toughie. Alabama and Kentucky.
How long do I have to think about that?
5 minutes.
Alabama. What's the spread on that? Do you know?
35 or something like that.
Would you take the points or would you take?
No.
They covered the spread last week.
I would I wouldn't take either, but if I was going to have to take one, I'd probably take Alabama.
Okay.
Auburn and Louisiana Monroe.
Auburn.
And two in a row. And that one's 32-33.
I would take the points.
You'd take the points?
Absolutely, I would take the points.
I wouldn't take either one of them.
Auburn's going to beat somebody by 35? But now, who is it they beat?
Yeah, they beat Arkansas State.
Yeah, Arkansas State.
Florida and Vandy.
Florida.
I'm going to agree with you again. Wisconsin and Michigan.
As bad as I hate to, I'm going to pick Michigan.
And I really should pick Michigan, but just because I want Wisconsin to win, I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
You're
going to
go with Wisconsin. Okay.
So remember that when we call our record out next week. I really think
you're
really going to win.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Wisconsin.
I understand.
And the game of the week.
That's right. That is a Saturday night game.
Louisville at Clemson.
Boy. At Clemson.
At Clemson.
I'm going Clemson.
And I'm going to disagree again and go Louisville.
You're going Louisville. Is this about a toss-up game?
As some places has been a pick'em, and okay. Louisville's a 1 to 1.5 point favorites.
Okay. And you're going with Louisville?
Yep, going with Louisville.
All right, I'm going Clemson. I think Clemson has a little more experience in bigger games than Louisville, and they're at home.
Now, I think Louisville offense is going to expose the Clemson defense this week.
You may have a point there. I do think a couple of Clemson's defensive ends or defensive linemen are not going to play.
And so, who really has Clemson beat?
Nobody.
They didn't look too swell against Auburn. They didn't look too swell against Troy. So
no.
I think it's Louisville's time. I think it's
maybe
time for Clemson to bite the dust.
Well, it may be. But the Georgia, Tennessee, I've got Georgia, you got Tennessee. For lunch one day next
week.
That's
right. And you write this down, Ronnie. Georgia not only will lose to Tennessee, but Georgia will lose to Auburn later on in the year.
Well, we'll just do another lunch on that.
We'll go double or nothing.
Where do they play that? Where's that game?
That one will be in Georgia.
Oh, well.
In Athens.
I know where I'm going then. I'm going to get 2 free lunches out of you.
Well, I still owe you 3, so chalk them up to 5.
Oh, boy.
All right, Jay, since we're out of anything to talk about and have covered everything, can we get time off for good behavior?
Nice of you.
We're going to quit 6 minutes early.
That's
so
right.
We'll be back Tuesday and talk about what did or didn't happen
That's
over
right.
the weekend.
And be giving some golf away. So Tuesday
right.
is a great day to call. Your phones will be open all day.
We'll be in studio Tuesday.
That's right. We'll be here so you can call and win a free round of golf at Cross Creek Golf Course.
Until Tuesday, let me leave you with a big war eagle.
I'll leave you with a great big old row tie.
Thanks for joining us, Sports Talk Live 95.5. See you Tuesday.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center.
Choose the side salad over the fries. Park at the back of the lot on purpose. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. Childbirth education classes, rehab programs, free screenings. Most of our wellness programs are totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional, live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A key player for the Crimson Tide defense has been arrested. Authorities say Tim Williams was busted on a gun charge, arrested at 2 o'clock this morning, facing a misdemeanor charge of carrying a gun without a permit. Williams says he has a temporary paper permit given to him by the gun store, but that he did not have it on him at the time of the arrest. He's bonded out of jail. A teenager accused of killing his parents is in jail and likely to stay there. A judge refusing to lower the $1 million bail for 17-year-old Madison Holton. The judge says he believes Holton poses a danger to others. He's accused of killing his parents in their home in Eclectic. Investigators say the shooting occurred after he argued with his parents about a party involving drugs in their home. The Catholic Diocese of Birmingham hosts for the first time Blue Mass tonight in honor of and to pray for law enforcement officers. The 6 p.m. Mass at Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church on Birmingham's West End coincides with the Feast of Michael the Archangel, the patron saint of police officers. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A man charged with murder after the fatal shooting of his ex-girlfriend in front of their child at a birthday party in Childersburg. 23-year-old Tricarius Marquez Twyman, also charged with second-degree assault, accused of killing 23-year-old Jackie Dogen after a September 14th argument between the two at the Sadie Lee Holmes housing community. A deadly accident as a local sheriff calling for reforms in mental health. Three women killed in Calhoun County after they were hit by a pickup truck that had been stolen. The driver of that truck has a history of mental health issues. Jordan Baker's seen running through the streets naked twice. He's also been hospitalized but released. Sheriff Larry Amerson says it's time to change the laws that allowed Baker to be released. One man dealing with serious injuries after a fire at a home in Inslee. Birmingham police say he suffered severe burns to 70% of his body. Three others in the house were able to get out safely. No word yet on what started the fire. And dry conditions prompting Birmingham Waterworks Board to ask customers to voluntarily reduce water usage. The utility issuing a stage one drought advisory. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/aware to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes tax. Service will include a monthly data allowance depending on the type and speed of service you receive. If you exceed your monthly data plan allowance, you will be automatically charged $10 for each 50 gigabytes of data usage in excess of your data plan, even if less than 50 gigabytes is used. For details about data allowances, go to att.com/internet-usage. Wi-Fi enabled device required. Other restrictions apply.
News, a federal appeals court upholds a state law banning deductions from government employees' paychecks from going to groups that use the money for political activity. The AEA challenged the law, claiming it violates their First Amendment rights. For years, the group used those deductions to fund the political campaigns of allies, but the court found the law does not violate the Constitution. State Attorney General Luther Strange praising the decision, calling it a victory in the fight against political corruption. Homewood leaders discussing a plan to move the current high school to West Homewood and expand all schools in the city. Officials say they will get public opinion through numerous meetings on these changes. They say student growth has increased by 30% in the last decade. Tuscaloosa County Commissioners approve an operating budget of $92 million, including a 2% pay increase for county employees. Alabama motorists getting a costly reminder, look out for deer while driving. State Farm, Alabama's largest auto insurer, says there were more than 28,000 insurance claims connected to deer collisions from July 2015 through the end of June. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.